us begin. Let us start from where it says Daf Mem Hei Amid Beis. Okay, where it says Daf Mem Hei Amid Beis Kiviyas Zman Hamoves, to determine the moment of death. We want on a death certificate to know the moment of death. All right. But what is the Poiske Merichu Lodin Al Oides Geder Imosai Kiviyas Hamoves? The Gemara has a discussion to determine the exact moment of death. Vine Biyomo Amru Ton Rabbanan Ad Hechon Hu Boidik Ad Chaitmai. Where do you inspect to determine if the person is still living? So the answer is the nostrils. The determining factor is not a pulse. The determining factor is there air coming out of the nostrils? You put a feather along the nostrils and you see if there is some movement in the... What?
Use a mirror.
A mirror?
Yes. See
if it fogs up. Is that what they do?
On the mirror.
Really? So do they do such a thing? Yeah?
Yeah.
I never heard that before. Okay. So it says that the determining factor is to go use at chaitim to the nostrils. V'yeshem, some say ad libo, some say you have to go and you have to listen to the heart. The heart is the determining factor. Name the Gemara says name a hani tanai kani tanai. Let us just this machlekes tanai. Do you inspect the heart? Do you? I guess it means you put your ear on the heart to listen if there were a heartbeat, or do you look at the nostrils? Depends upon the following tanaiim. It's machlekes toli zebezed tanaiim. Heichon hoil vlad noitzar. From where is the vlad? Where does the creation first begin? One mandam says from the heart, and one mandam says from the head. So if you learn from the head, that means the tibur, the navel, that's the center of the body, which is near the heart. Or you learn from the head, and the head is going to be from the chaitim, going to be from the nose. So let us suggest that it's totally zebezeh. So the time of birth, in other words, life and death are parallels. The same way the person comes into this world, that's how he leaves this world. If he comes into this world through the tibur from the center, he leaves through the center from the heart. If he comes in through the head, then he leaves through the head as well. The moment of death is determined from when there is lack of activity in the nostrils. The Gemara says no. Afilu tema abashol ad kan loy kamer abashol el chasval in yitzira to kol midi min yitziyasa mitzar. Creation always begins from the center. When it comes to determine the person is still alive, if you're mechuyv, are you allowed on Shabbos to mechalal Shabbos to save a person? Then even he agrees that the ikur in the life is in the person's nostrils. The stems of the pasuk call asher nishmas ruach chayim be'apov. So the Gemara just basically says that it's not totally zebezeh. Creation, the way a person is created from the source of his life, is not the same as determining the moment of death, and therefore it can very well be that a person is created from the tibur, from the center, but he's not dead until there is no more breath in his nostrils, which means you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos as long as you can determine that there is still some type of breath coming out of his nostrils. So I'm going to pop up. Machlekes mimata lemala. That's only when you're inspecting the mat lamat, you go and you're checking from the heart up. Avol milamal lamata kevud the bodak lay at chaytmoy, but when you're checking milamata milamala kevud the bodak lay at chaytmoy, should. You start from the top, so you're removing stones, right? You're removing stones from the person who's completely buried and is covered in stones. So if you go and you're removing the stones mimata milamala, so you remove stones from the lower portion of the body. So you can still take off stones until you reach his nostrils. Right, is that what it means?
That's where there's a machlokes. But milamal umat, if you're starting from his head,
and then
what you have to do is go to his nose.
No, that's it. If you start taking off stones from the top of his head and then you reach the nostrils right away, malumato cave in the bodaglay, ad chait my shuv in it sarach. Everyone agrees, call asher nishmas shuah chayim biyapav. So basically everyone holds that the nostrils is the determining factor. Everyone agrees. The bottom line is, in this discussion of the Gemara, everyone agrees, the determining factor, the ultimate determining factor, is the person's nostrils, the breath of life. The only question is that if you can also use the heart, a heartbeat, as a determining factor, but everyone agrees that the chaitim certainly is sufficient. If you test the nostrils and there's nothing there, then we can definitely assume the person is dead, and it makes no difference. And if you've already tested the heart, which direction of the body you're trying to recover. Chuva, Maisa, here's a story. Shapamachas is nagid mahari segol olav hasholom b'kihila koysha d'magensia. He went and he visited in the city of Magensia. Shekorin hits rit, which... what? Hitzrit.
It's
name of a city.
Probably a stroke or something.
Okay, Umotzaol, he was Shekorin, okay, he was Isnegid. Isnegid with a Mitznegid. Okay, he was struck with a certain disease, whatever it was. Umotzaol came Shoche b'cheide limudo, and they found him there, v'shachav ken yosem v'shloshu yam v'shloachav v'leshasem v'lum v'lechoye mezes shum eivar mikol gufay. So this person was basically in a coma. Okay, he didn't move for 3 days. Kilu hayimeis. V'chayi arvei menasim also b'tchivas me'achad l'chol l'shedach gufay. V'lehirgish akitas me'achad rak be'empl etzba'echad min raglov hirgish ve'adayin hayruach b'nechirav. There was only one finger, a toe, one toe which brought a reaction. When they would prick that toe with a needle, then the body moved. And, but, what was the point we want to make over here is that there was still breath, he was still breathing. So and this gadol, a very great person, everyone was in a lot of tsar that he was in limbo. His life was in limbo. The chol asher shamu yachzemo raad the gozul hisanes called yom sheni v'chamishi and yom hanaram v'lo maslichos v'chol time the sibah v'ha'ev v'ha'ev v'chodesh tamuz v'oybaaf the chasher chaz harav leburyoy. Nishar bebeis ad shever, he healed. He came back. Kosholach achach lebeis haknesses. So motzad tziba misanin. Mashlimim hatayne shekiblu hichzik lechem toiv. He thanked them. Veachachach chay yosem b'shloishim shana. V'loy shamati shigil l'shum odem ma hoyelo. Vani hamalakeit bosar li. Vani hamalakeit bosar li today. Ad hayom keshani shame oimrim hapizmoin roya Yisrael. Hamesayn miyakum Yaakov ki. I was there in the story. The person was in a coma, and he came out of a coma after many, many days. So, what do you see from this? His point over here is saying, again, this is obviously this is ancient times before they had all these things. Is that you never really know? You think a person is not alive? Don't be so sure. Don't put him in the grave. Before, don't pull the plug so quickly. He was still breathing. Okay, so today there's brain. Today the big controversy is brain death. So brain death, they're still breathing, right? They're still breathing, but according to modern instruments, there's absolutely no activity in the brain. And then they have new technology where they can determine even in the stem, there's no activity whatsoever. So this is the major controversy: is death defined by the heart? If the heart is still naturally breathing to some degree, or is death defined by activity in the brain? This is the machlokes of Tendler and many other gedolim. What?
Tendler is shown to be wrong.
Okay, this is a machlokes, and the very big nafkiminis is does Avelis begin? If a person is hard still breathing, but the doctor's telling you there's no activity in the brain whatsoever. And by the way, today the technology is far more advanced than it was during the time of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe wrote the Tshuvas because today they have lower stem, they have a lot of new ideas. So this is not so simple. With a short Igris Moshe Kosav, what?
Not a raya for brain death if they went by breathing.
So that's the problem you have rayas both ways. Problem over here is it appears from this Gemara, take them out of it at face value, depends on the heart. That if the heart is pumping, that's what it says.
Naturally pumping,
right? Naturally, of course. If the heart is naturally pumping, it's pumping on its own. Even though there's no, the doctors will tell you that there is absolutely no activity in the brain. The brain is as dead gets, and the heart is breathing. The Gemara seems to say that he's still alive. The Gemara says the determining factor is so this.
But I thought the brain controls the heart. The heart can't control work without.
So obviously not. Obviously, there is such a thing. There's such a thing that the heart has a koyach to continue pumping without the brain participating. Big mystery. But that's the mitzvah. Dr. Fruchel, is that correct?
Yes.
That's the mitzias. So the question over here is, what's, you know, there's also this thing called the tail of a lizard. You can chop off a lizard, you can chop off the head, and the lizard continues to move.
How chickens do it?
How could it continue to just
Keto with the cows after they were slaughtered, running it for.
They're still so. You can't say that you're alive without a head. So you can make an argument that if there's no activity in the brain, the person is not alive. The heart is pumping due to some type of residual nerve. Well, not in the respirator. We're talking where there's still some natural. The respirator enhances. The respirator is just enhancing a weak pulse, a weak movement of the heart. But the heart is still pumping and still on its own doing something. Okay, so this is the big mystery. There's no clear how psychologically was shooting with Moshe, Kosta Bedavar Bedavar, Yidias Misas, Ha'adam, Hamafush, Begmara, Yuma. Benefel, Benofel, Ma'apoyles, Aladam. Okay, so the Gemara talks about himself, where a building collapsed upon a person. Shemefak, Chines, Agalafil, Beshabbos. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is clear. A building collapsed upon a person. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to remove all of the stones. And you inspect, you take off the stones until you reach the person's nose. If there is no breath in the nostrils, then he's certainly not alive. If there is still some breathing, there is still some breath in his nostrils, that means his heart is pumping, then he is alive. Shiroyim zois aide noitso through a feather. The aide chatichos niyar. What?
The brain stem is still functioning.
If he's still breathing, but isn't that the big mystery? If the person is still, his heart is pumping,
If the person is still breathing, it means the brain stem is still functioning.
It's still functioning.
Brain death determination is called the apnea test.
Yeah.
If someone ends up under a respirator and they want to check brain death.
So the respiratory system needs the brain stem, and let's say the heart is still beating, the heart is still pumping, and that doesn't affect the breathing.
Within a few minutes, the leech
affects each other. Okay, I don't know. Let's see what it says. He's not really elaborating. He's just talking about this general halacha. The din shchay shiroyim zos aydei noitz vaydei chetichas niyo dakar shemesim alitz lachaydim im loy misnadei dechu b'chetzkas meitz. If it does not move, then the person b'chetzkas meitz. Avol tzorech sheyivdeku b'ze de'eze pa'amim shekeven she'ev shel anoshim shel stakal av m'meshach zman kotsa b'lo hesach adas. This test must be done multiple times, make a determination. Yesh locho shemen ischazek ma'ad v'nosham eze l'shimus You have to wait time. Time must pass. You have to wait to be deterred, be certain that the person has stopped breathing completely. You have to do this test multiple times to make sure the person is no longer breathing. Kosaf, sheba adam shenifza b'teunas drachim rachmana lutz, the person is an accident. Oy shenafal b'makam gavoh chiyotz bo inenu harois pamim rabosh oisim haneshima milachusis. The achaz man ma choyze v'noishem krog. We find sometimes that the person stops breathing for a period of time, and then suddenly later on, within a couple of minutes, he starts breathing once again. The yafal pi sheba oisa shah sheba ola hatzila roim sheim sheinu noishem klal b'chaytmo. There's always hope. I guess that's a defibrillator, right? Is that what it means? A machine. Emergency medicine. They can give emergency medicine, different shots, which can cause the body to force it to shock different techniques, either through medicine or through shock treatments, in order to cause the heart to start breathing again. This machine which they press upon the person's body. Okay, so he's not just saying over here, just basically saying over this, the son is that just because a person has stopped breathing, all he's trying to say here is, it doesn't mean the person is dead. Even a person stops breathing, you have to wait. You have to do the test multiple times over a period of time. And that is why even Halacha L'Maaseh, the Chevra Kadisha, they advise that just because the machines turn off just because the doctors have now determined the person has died does not mean the person is dead. You have to wait a couple of minutes. You don't exactly know the moment of Yitzias Neshama. It's a moment of Yitzias Neshama can sometimes be delayed by a few moments after the body appears to have shut down. Okay, let's go to the next thing. Mrs. Lavoya. Okay, this is spooky stuff here. What? Similarly, now, he's supposed to wait a few minutes, it says. He's supposed to wait from the time when all the machines, this is really going off the topic, even though the doctors have determined the person has died, but there's this idea that the Yitzias Neshama is not immediate. The Yitzias Neshama is delayed by a few moments. Well, how long are those few moments? It could be a couple of minutes. So you wait until a few moments until. Yeah. Okay, let's go further. Mitzvah Slavai. Okay, a lot of the things over here are short, they're not, some of these things are not, let's just read what it says. Besugin v'chiyal da'atenu also shezikeni bezin b'shech chidam heim. Ela shloi bo al yedenu patru b'loi mozim v'loi re'inu v'inichu b'loi levir. Discussing the topic of egla arufa. Egla arufa, the zekenim say, kaper li amcha yishol, forgive us. Why do they need forgiveness? What did the Zakenim do? Why do they need forgiveness? The answer is because they should have escorted him. If he would have been escorted by a group of people, then he would have had a better mazel, or he would have had confidence. He would have felt that he would have fought off his murderer, because he would have felt that his life is important. The fact that people have accompanied him would have given him a lot of koyach. Next, now besugin b'shir levoya kasu aposkim sharav l'talman malav ad ibur shel ear chaver l'chaver at chum shabbos v'talman l'rav shein muvuk ad parsa. So here it's talking about the mitzvah of lawyer. How long do you have to escort a nace? Go to a funeral, how long? So it says here there are different shiurim. A rav, a rebbe for a student is the least. Just to the ibur shel ir, until the outskirts of the city. The rebbe does not need to accompany the student all the way until his burial. A chaver l'chaver, friends, at chum Shabbos, you have to escort them not only to the outside of the city, but you must escort them 2,000 amos outside the city. And a student for a rebbe has to escort the rebbe much, much further. Now, I'm sorry, this is not for living. What am I saying over here? This is for the living. The living. When you escort your friend, when you escort the living, when a person is a guest in your home, and you escort him. So obviously today it's different, but just a general rule where we fall back to the basics is that when a rebbe would escort his student, he escorts him to the edge of the city. When a friend escorts his friend, when he leaves, you have to escort him 2,000 amos. When a student escorts his rebbe, he has to escort him 3 parsos. Fine. Now obviously today, we don't do that. Today, so what do we do today? It's not practical to escort your friend or your rebbe, your talmud. So you just at least open up the door, and you walk them out a dalet amos, or you wait at least. It's a nice minig is that when someone leaves you and they get into the car, you wait at least until the car. You have different until the car. You can no longer see the car. More than the car starts. They get into the car and you wait for them to pull out of the driveway, and until they go down to the end of the block and you can no longer see them. A lot of Gedolim did that. When they would have guests and they would escort their guests, they walk with them, they got into the car and they waited until the guests pulled away and they could no longer see them. With the kitzer shlo kosaf, shekahayoim, einayhagim bezemim neshem moichlim al kivaydam. Bizman has that you've never seen a student escort his rebbe to the city limits. That's because, or 3 parsels, because the rebbeim today, the minig is to be moichel. Uvishem hamarash, I do not know who that is, kosa shemikomokom yelchimo oyim chaver and lefnei shar ha'ir. At least do something. At least go to the gate of the city, oy lechol apachos dalid amos. Oid kosa, misha oysa lechaver levoya, if you are so kind to escort your friend, koidim shiachsu lebe. So yoimar, now this is very, very bizarre, this is Kabbalah. If you escort your friend before you return home, so you're escorting your friend, you're going out into the field, you're escorting him. Before you return home, you should say the word Sadeh 4 times and turn to all 4 directions. I never saw someone do this. Sheyachso lebeso, yoymar Sadeh, v'yachso ponav ledal ruchos ha'olam, v'chenyas oid pam, v'pam ha'shlishos oymar ha'sadeh. V'lo yistakel achar ahochim, don't after you say these words four times, don't look at the person that you has, that has left. Umuftach shelo yinozek aholich ad sheyachzol liroiso, and it's guaranteed that the person, your friend, will not be harmed. Now, what in the world does all this mean? So he says over here, this means that tamhu shesode bigamatria shai. The Shai Olamais, the 310 worlds. Right, to bequeath to my beloved Yesh. Yesh represents, so at least one thing we learn a new thing, this is at least a Yavanua drasha for a seam on Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the last Masechta Shai. It's the gematria of Sodeh. It's what you say when you escort someone. Shai Olamos, Shehem Rachamim Gimurim. The Hasodeh, and when you have the Hei HaYidia Hasodeh, who the gematria Shakai, it's Hashem's name. Zemesugul the Shmira Saderech, the Ayin Biskul, he showed Mashakos bin Yinzel, come on, Rabbi Yochim, Rabbi Meir, Shakosh, and Malavim, and Mislavik, Hilo, Shavazamin. If you do not escort your friend, you're a murderer. Besifra, call Master, Besaf, and Nichtavim, Kosal of our Mash, Amr, Mislave, Hainu, Shayesh, Nashim, Shamoch, Malkavodim, Vemim, Malve, Shiachzol, Malavos, Shleatrich, Atzmoy, Ulzois, Boagmolemash, Ain Lassois, Kane. Don't do that. Don't go and don't be from the people who are accepted. You're not allowed to accept the mechilos, and he's tying this into the word mislaveh. I don't know what that means. Why that has what it means, but let's just take out the yisoid from this. The bottom line you take from this is when it comes to Egel Arufa, it's last week's parasha. This week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu was escorted Yosef Hatzadik. He taught in the mitzvah of Egel Arufa. Egel Arufa came about because the person did not escort his friend. And the popular reason of its review is because when you escort someone, you show you care about him. He has self-worth. He views that his life has value. And therefore, if he comes upon a difficult situation when he's traveling, he's not miyayish. A person has no self-worth. They give up very quickly. When they're confronted with danger, with an enemy, they don't care. What is my life worth anyway? You want to kill me? Kill me. You want to steal from me? Steal from me. My life has no value. If you escort your friend, you have breathed within him value. My life has value. If my life has value, I'm not going to let the enemy kill me so quickly. I'm not going to let the enemy steal from me so quickly. You'll fight off your enemy and you will survive. The fact that a person fell on the road, he died, means that people did not instill within him value, life worth. And we learn here there are different madrigals of how much you have to escort your friend. A friend, a rebbe, a student, bisman hazeh, the minig is to be meichel, and that's why we do not escort our friends long distances, but you still must escort your friend at least a short distance. This is a Kabbalistic inyan to say when you finish escorting your friend, sode, it's the gematria shai, it's the gematria shakai, rachamim mirubim. Okay. Next inyan, next topic. Topic is Techelis. Is a teeny little topic. This you can fill up an encyclopedia, a whole library. But he just writes over here one short little paragraph about Techelis Bizman Hazeh. Do we wear Techelis? Tanya. Hoya luz shetsoivim ba Techelis. There is the luz. He luz. It is the luz shetsoivim ba Techelis. This fish, which is also called luz, which we use to dye tchelas. Why does the Gemara say luz? It's not where tchelas comes from. Tchelas comes from the chila zone. It's dye is only niklat yafe be'avira shel luz yoyser me'im yitzra be'avir mokoy ma'acher. So it reveals over here a very great mystery, which I do not believe they know what this means today, is that the quality of the ear has an effect on the chemical reaction to the wool and the dye. If you go and you do the dawing in this the Luz, what is the Luz's basel? Right? Isn't that the same place Luz's basel? If you go to basel, you have to do some scientific discovery to understand the air, the environment, the atmosphere in Luz enhances the dye of Trelis. When you mix the wool with the dye, the color will be different when you do it in Luz than if you do it in Tveria, if you do it in Bnei Brak, if you do it in Tel Aviv. It's not the same. That's what the Gemara says. So is this a Shemitzis like this today? I doubt it. Today there's no difference. You can do the Trelis in America, you can do it in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't make a difference. But it says that in the minig was, they would go to Luz because that's where they would do the dye. Hagoyin HaKadosh Miritzina Rebbe, Herichabi Shiesh Lachzir Ateris Trelis Lyoshna, he says he has on Trelis. He discovered the Trelis. Ulam Beseb Sil Trelis Kosam Lohid Lufima Shama Besugin Shes at Svir Shotrelis also Dafka Belus. Miacha Vishama Seven Niklan hated in Kain Kayam Kate Evshal Kaimit Satrelis Shari Ain Yadu Lono Hechen He Luz. So this is a fascinating listening, and this is another reason why, I mean, we don't follow this anyway, but he questions how today Bismanazek can you possibly bring back Trelis when the Gemara says that the dye must be done in Luz. We do not know the identity, the geographic location, Bidiyuk of Luz. Where exactly is Luz today? Is it Basel? Where exactly is Basel? We can guess all we want, but we do not know with precision where these locations are. What? So the Rezina had his own. Rezina, he had a certain fish. I don't know what he had. The Murex. Today, the popular Goldstein, the Goldstein Trelis. The Psil Trelis Institute. The Psil Trelis Institute only uses the Murex.
Isn't that from the fish?
Yes, it is from the fish. Sure, it's from the fish.
Yeah.
The Murex.
Get that from?
How do you know that's
the... I don't know, but the people who believe it's true, they're not faking it. They think that's...
There's an institute called...
You see the thing, but they say it's from something else. It's not from the...
No, they're on today. It's from the fish. That is the fish.
They think that is it. Yeah. But
the Murex. It's called the Murex trunculus.
Not less.
Okay, this.
Yeah, but they think it's a fish.
Somebody
is pulling
something.
Of course it's a fish. What else could it be?
Okay, let's go further. Omdam kosav leochiach mikam mekaymos lohayut soiv mes atzitz davke beloz leochiach kein mikam mekaymos vioid herich sham litchos harai hanal misugin herich sham herich im loz he married sol eloy ayin sham. Okay, the yisoid we take out of this is this new yisoid. Today, obviously, there's a major controversy with regard to trelas. Okay, there's a major controversy today with regard to Trelis. Trelis, the popular Trelis was from Dr. Goldstein. Dr. Goldstein is the one behind the Psil Trelis Institute. They have demonstrations. They used to be much more popular. They have demonstrations. They had even at the Aguda Convention 1 year, they had a major demonstration to show what the Murex, all the rayos from the Murex trunculus, I think it's called. That's the name of a fish. That appears to be the most popular. There is Zina Rebbe, who made his own trelis, he and Vehi had a different fish that he used to extract. Which they've what?
Way before.
Which many people have disproven that there's no way that this can be, but still his Hasidim ad Hayoim Hazeh still use, you can even buy it in Eichler's, the Rezina Trelis. It's a much darker color. The Rezina Trelis is a darker blue. The Murex Trunculus is a lighter blue. And that's what's very, very popular. There are many rayos, there are many very solid rayos that the Murex Trunculus is indeed the real Trelis. But not everyone is on board. Possibly the biggest critic of the Murex Trunculus is none other than our own Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. He is from the biggest critics of the Murex. He holds that he slugged up all of the rayas, and he holds halachically it's not accurate. And then there are there's the approach that you can show me the biggest proofs, black and white. You can show me whatever you want to show me, whatever you want to prove me. I will not put on tchelis until Mashiach comes, because the Messiah is lost. So even if you'll prove to me with 100% precision that this is tchelis, there is such an approach. You're not going to chassidim. You have never seen chassidim today wear tchelis. They don't. Who?
Him.
Yeah.
They showed it to him. And he said, "You're probably right. How much does it cost?"
$70.
$70. He says, "It's broke. What if we get a demand for $3 million? How much is the price going to
be?" $500.
He says, "So I'm not going to pay the tailors, because if everybody sees wearing tailors, they'll buy the tailors." And the
price will go up.
Who said that?
It's like with the strimals. That's strimals.
Well, yeah. Spots.
Rav David Feinstein, when they had
the filters.
The one on bandits on the sinks.
Yeah.
When they took apart the sink, they realized the mechanism doesn't turn
on 100%. For Shabbos.
And he says, we don't have the right to stick our hands in a fellow Jew's pocket to make him spend the money to go to a plumber and tell him to reconfigure your faucets. So you do the best you can.
It was the same thing with the filters, to go require everyone to go install a filter in their home for drinking water. It's a shaila. Are there really bugs in the water? He owns the Arabelski and the halacha holds there. No, halachically it's not. It's mutter. Right. But even people who are not on that league where they're going to pass in the halacha, there's a legitimate approach that there are no, that the bugs are permitted for consumption. And then there's a debate, are there even bugs to begin with? It all depends where you live. Stagnation. So there are two sveikas. Halacha. Right? Belsky holds it's mutal chatchili. You have a bug, you can drink it. You can see the bug crawling around. He holds you can actually consume it because this is briyasa. This is where we stop here. Halacha, it's mutter. And then even if you can't see, even who says there are bugs in the water? And then when you want to add the cost of having everyone go and have a plumber come, it's another consideration. So these are all major considerations. Now, as far as the tchelis, Rabbi Belsky, the rumor has, I haven't seen, but he does wear the tchelis. Rav Herschel Shachter, for sure. Well, they were the first ones. They were the first ones to promote the tchelis. Rav Herschel Shachter, Rabbi Lamb, and Rabbi Willig. When the tchelis became popular in the 80s, there was a big seminar in YU. And I think it was those three who spoke. It was Rabbi Lamb, and Rabbi Herschel Shachter, and maybe it was Rabbi Willig, maybe someone else. They all got up, and it was a big presentation. They promoted the tchelis, that this is it. Ikvus of the Mashiach, we have discovered the tchelis, and Ana Yom, Rabbi Shachter has also his own way of making the tchelis, of how you put on the knots. He has his own technique. Here, whatever it is. But many other gedolim, Rabbi Belsky, the rumors are that he does wear tchelis. He wears it betzina. He wears it on his talis katan. He does not wear it on his talis gadol, because he doesn't want to get involved in controversy, people to see. But on his private sitters, where people don't see, he does wear tchelis. That's what they say.
Why are they only wearing, like, on one
sitter,
they don't put
it
on
oil? That's what it says in the Gemara.
What do you mean? On what? Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, it says the more you does the more.
White and blue.
White and blue. Not everything is blue. Okay, so this is a very...
It's
machlokes. It's a three-way machlokes. There's Rashi, the Rambam, and the Ravid. How to put tchelis on your chutin. Okay, but there's a big machlokes. What exactly is the tchelis? Rav Herzog had his approach to what tchelis was. Rav Herzog actually rejected the murex. He suggested maybe the tchelis is the murex. He rejected. The Ritzina had its tchelis. It's common today to use the murex, but he's over here. He's telling us a new chiddush, a new yisod, to add to the equation. The Gemara says that the location of where you mix the dye with the wool is in a city called Luz, because there is something in the atmosphere. There is something unique about the avira de Luz, which enhances the chemical reaction the wool has with the dye. That's what the Gemara says. You can't deny that to be the fact. And therefore, since Bizman Hazeh, we do not know where this location is, so there's no way we can actually fulfill the mitzvah of Tchelas. He concludes that we know historically that's not true, because we know that when they did have Tchelas, they definitely, there are historical accounts, they made Tchelas not all over the world, not necessarily in Luz. So obviously the Gemara does not mean that this is Le'ikuva, this is absolutely necessary. And maybe there's another interpretation for the Gemara, so don't get carried away with the says in this Gemara, and obviously yesh v'yesh. fish. Everyone has their minog, their tradition, if you wear tchelis or not.
Your ex is not kosher fish.
I don't know. No. It's not kosher? It doesn't have to be kosher. Obviously doesn't apply then to this. It does not apply to this. A lot of these things are available online. You can do, there's so much information. There's so much. There's an institute. They give you tours and they have seminars. And it costs a pretty penny to buy a pair of tchelis. Cost a good
product from a non-kosher animal.
Doesn't matter. I mean, you asked the question. I'm mutar b'ficha. It has to be from kosher. I don't know if that's part of the debate, the halakhic debate. I don't know the inyanim. All I know is Rav Reisman. I once actually heard a shir many years ago. I heard the same Mitzvah Shabbos. Rav Reisman, he gave a shir Mitzvah Shabbos. Not the Navi shir. The week after the Navi shir. He always they mechabed him to give the last shir in a halbashtam shul. The whole year they have a series of shir Mitzvah Shabbos and halbashtam shul on the sugis of Daf Yomi. When they bring down every Mitzvah Shabbos a different Rosh Shiva to give a shir. So he's always the last. And he, one year, he went for an hour, laying out his shita on tchelis. And he took all of their reasons, and one after the other, he ripped it apart, he rejected it. This is no good, this is not correct, that's not correct. He said that he went there to the incident area to show him in the summer when he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he went there, he gave him a tour, and they actually, they recruited him. They want to persuade him. Because if he gives an endorsement, you know, it's millions of dollars, his endorsement. And he was not impressed, and he's very critical. He's very critical, and subsequently, there's been a lot of correspondence between him and others. Someone told me recently that he retracted, that he softened his approach. Is that true or not? I don't know. All this is what?
A lot of times you get pressure.
I don't know pressure. He's not someone that's so quick to cave into pressure. But it could be they present a different new information, or he softened his approach to come around, and maybe indeed there is something to it. There isn't. And also, you have to also realize who says tchelis has to be one particular fish. As long as tchelis fits in, you know, halacha is not. You know, if you have three pieces of meat, and two are kosher, and one is not kosher, according to halacha, and they get mixed all together, you're allowed to eat all three pieces of meat. But one of the pieces of meat is for sure treif. That's halacha. Halacha is its own reality. Halacha is not dependent upon the laws of physics. If some...
You elect the president the same way.
What?
You elect the president the same way.
If in halacha, it works if the murex trunculus works in halacha, even though it can very well be that you'll prove to me 2,000 years ago they did not use this fish as for the source of tchelis, it doesn't mean that it's not kosher for tchelis. If in halacha there are guidelines of what is kosher for tchelis, how to make tchelis, if in halacha the boot fits, then
shoe
the shoe fits. If the shoe fits, then wear it. It's okay. It doesn't have to be you need a masora. There are so many different approaches to decipher what is tchelis.
I heard Rabbi Alvin say,
yes,
it could be wrong to wear it.
What? So they take that apart. They're very tough with that approach. And that's an approach. That is an approach, a legitimate approach. What could be wrong? Maybe indeed you've been mekayim the mitzvah. But on the other hand, they counter argue that you don't do mitzvos in such a fashion. It's a zeal for them. It's a forgery. It's a forgery to present yourself, I'm doing a mitzvah, when you're not even really sure if you're doing a mitzvah. That's not a healthy attitude.
Isn't that a problem?
That's the counter argument, right? And we do many things like this. We yotze kol hadeis. We have a dilemma how to do this. So we like lighting Chanukah candles. Well, then Chanukah candles ideally light it 20 minutes after Shkia, because if you light it 20 minutes after Shkia, yotze kol hadeis. So you might as well wear tchelas because you'll be yotze kol hadeis. Man of shach. Okay, you have to be mafalpel. There are different points of view. But here, at least today, we've learned something new. And that is, it says in the Gemara, the chemical reaction only works in luz. Part of the presentation is to show you this chemical reaction. When you expose it to sunlight, expose it to light, there's a lot of interesting things. The Gemara here seems to indicate that there's more to just sunlight. There's some other element of avir, the avir of
process works in wine.
Which Gemara is that?
Doesn't matter if you bring
this Gemara, this stuff. Saita Mem Zayin, Mem Vav, Mem Vav. Okay, Mem Vav. Okay, okay, now let's see if we should do the next one because I don't, you know, let's do a short one on the bottom. We'll come back because I don't have that much to tell you about for the third part, so let's just do a short one. Let's jump down to Nesinas Matanas Bechasna. Okay, so this doesn't say here very much about giving gifts. How are you allowed to give a gift to a chasan when we have a principle that says Soine Matanos Yichye? You're killing him. You're killing the chasan kala by giving him a gift. So that's a big kasha. Look at Perek Mem Zayin. Let's jump down. Besugin Misharabu Mekable Matanos Nismatu Hayamim. When people began to accept gifts, people began to live shorter lives. But it's katzur hashanim v'chsev v'soyni matanos yichye. Kosef hayam shel shloima. Shehamechabrim hashmitu dover zeh, that the poiskim have left this out. They ignored this gemara. They did not quote this in the Sifrei Halacha. Lefi she'ein hechra b'dover. Who says? Uman dekabed kabed. In other words, it's not a guarantee. Just because you accept the gift does not mean that your life will be shortened. Shari lekosef kro. There's no possible kro. V'oyv matanos yamos. It doesn't say the reverse. Look at that principle. It says soine matanos yichye. But it doesn't say the oiv matanos yomos. So therefore, it's a midas chasidus, but it does not necessarily mean you're going to suffer. A person has faith in Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Sunni Matanus Mishantoi, and he's support is only Allah Almakma Kadosh Baruch Hu. Al Yoimashu Chayiv Kim Abid Atzma Ladas, Ela Yichye Mipi Hashem. He's not committing suicide, but he'll live Mipi Hashem, Huftach, Bashem, Chesed Yisavenu, Kavur Bishachonarch, Shemides Hachasidus, Shalolakal Matanus, Ela Tech Bashem, Shitin Laidai, Machsorish. It's a midas chassidus. That's all what it means. But I'll tell you one thing that's for sure. When you take a gift from a person, one thing is for sure. The person that gives you the gift does not look at you the same way. They look down at you. There's no question about that. If you're in the habit of taking gifts, forget about how long your life expectancy is. That's Kabbalah. The person that gives you the gift does not have the same respect for you. When you are independent and you're not taking handouts, not taking gifts, then the people, society, they look at you with respect. Once they know that you have taken a gift from them, they don't look at you the same way. They look, yeah, I...
A gift equals a bribe.
Does. It's not the same.
A gift equals a bribe. That's what no, but a gift equals a bribe.
Give and not take. Give. Okay, let's gam b'shut chayim sho'al. Kosav sh'soni matan esichye hu rak zihirus ba'almo b'dor hazev v'roiv oylam yodam pshuto l'kal matan es b'simcha ve'im b'ze iser. The bottom line is Chanukah is over and Chanukah everyone gets presents. I don't know, when I grew up we never got presents. There's a new Mishagas today. A new Mishagas today, you get presents every day. On the first day of Chanukah you get a present. The second, every day you get presents. Ooh, there's a new Mishagas. Years ago you got presents on Chanukah?
You got money?
I don't know, I didn't get money. But the minhag ha'olam today is to take gifts, and we're not nizer in this. This is the midas chasidus. It's not for the average person. This concept in the Gemara of soinei matanos yichya avol b'ramok mashma k'tzas sheyesh iser b'zeh. So he says something in the Yoredei Ramos mashma, but it's forbidden for a person to take a gift for no reason. You're doing an avera. It's a Gemara. Usoni matanos yichya. And he writes, Shekosav shemutor lechacham. The only exceptions are talmidei chachamim, because they cannot survive. They cannot survive without taking gev shemutor lechacham. The talmidei of lekabel has histapkus kavuim min hanoistim to receive gifts. Shal yidei ze yecholim laasayik b'torah b'revach, to be able to succeed in learning. Aval ein lekabel doronus min abriyos. Do not accept gas presence from the Briyos. Ve'afal gav shakol ha'mevi doro l'tal mechacham kilu mevi bikurim. Hainu bid roinos ketanim, small gifts. Shaderech when Adam lahavi hadarim l'katan l'adam chasher afilu hu amaretz. Vinei b'shut mishne halachos. So he asked exactly the question we started with. Are you allowed to give a gift to a chasen kala, or are you not in violation of soinei matana siyachi? V'heishiv shalei amu soinei matana siyachi, ela kashu noise matana ve'inu mekala me'acher matana. Al bo'oifin shu noise matana me'chake me'ashin lekabu k'neg de matana. Reciprocation. That's really the way it works today. People that you give, if you give someone else's children a nice wedding gift, then you can expect that they'll give your children a nice wedding gift. So therefore, it's today, this is what he writes, it's shocking finish, that there is absolutely no violation of Sonei Matonos Yichia when you give gifts, because it creates an environment of reciprocation. And really, to some degree, you're giving the gift to yourself. If I'm going to give a nice $150, $200 gift to the children, to your friend's children, I'm really giving that money to my own children. How am I giving that money to my own children? Because when my children get married next year, I know that you're going to give that same gift to my children.
They're expected to give
reciprocation. Shushminin.
I usually pay for aliyot, certain things. Sometimes I want to return the ideas, I want to give it to them, because I like them or for other reasons. But returning, so I didn't accomplish anything.
No, but he's saying there's a prohibition to receive a gift. The answer is that bezman hazeh, it's not called a gift, it's reciprocation. That's what he writes. Zeh doma lemechira, shelachin therefore noisim lekedish yachsu yimei lo v'lo yomu shonim atasich ye'elu mokam shu mekabel ve'ina machzir lo noisim klal. Incredible chiddush. So the bottom line over here is, the Yisoy review is, we have a principle called soinei ma'atono sichya. He first starts off by telling us, don't get carried away. This is a midus chasidus. It's not for the average man. And the proof is, it does not say in the pasuk the reverse. Oyhev matonos yomos. So therefore, you can take a gift and don't give back. That's what he says. Certainly when it comes to Talmidei Chacham, they cannot survive without gifts, it's permitted. And then he says, and even when it comes to other situations, we have the heter of, Rav Menashe Klein, where he says this idea is that if the giving of the gifts is part of the society, of reciprocation, that the Chlal is not included in this prohibition at all, even though the Ramah does appear to allude that there might indeed be some type of negative violation if we do take a gift, bizman hazeh. Okay, we will stop over here.